Welcome once again to another episode of The Wall, Behind and Beyond. I am your host, Philip A. Jones. Today we have a powerhouse of a guest who not only had her own run-in with the legal system, she lost two very important people in her life to the system. Instead of allowing her grief to paralyze her, she turned it into activism. She also turned her pain into passion as she created her own foundation, which serves those who are justice impacted as well as may have substance use disorders. She helps marginalized men and women recover and rebound at the same time. Please welcome to the show Ms. Brittany Allen Jones. How are you doing today?
I'm doing so good, Philip. How are you?
I'm all right. Maintaining, you know, just excited about doing the show with you. You know, I like the work you've been out there doing. I like your foundation. I like the principles of it. And I like your mission statement. I read up on all of that. So I wanted to get to some of these questions so that people out there can hear some of the amazing work that you've been doing.
Thank you.
So the first question for you, Brittany, is tell our listeners who you are and a little bit about your background.
Sure. So my name is Brittany Allen Jones, and I'm a previously incarcerated individual with almost 7 years in recovery. I'm the founder and CEO of the Chad Lake Foundation. I'm a wife, a mother. I'm in grad school at the University of Kentucky, and I plan to graduate next year with my master's in social work. I also work with people who suffer from substance use disorders as a family mentor for the University of Kentucky. I work closely with Child Protective Services for the Department of Community-Based Services in Davis County.
Wow, it's a lot. You got a lot on your shoulders, but I know you're up for it because I've seen, you know, already all the things that you've been doing, and your concepts are amazing. So what was the catalyst and what motivated you to start the Chad Lake Foundation?
So my brother was Chad Lake Raymond, and he was incarcerated for almost 10 years when he died in prison after his 31st birthday in 2021. I've never felt so much pain in my entire life, and the grieving process is ongoing. So I knew after that happened that I wanted to do something to honor and remember him as well as to help others and prevent this from happening to another family. Because prior to my brother's death, my dad died in prison. My dad died at 43 years old in 2011. So this was the second loss in my family. I can't believe that this happened once, let alone twice.
Yes. Damn, I'm sorry to hear that. When I read your story, I was like, wow, this is very unique, and this would move anyone, you know, to take action, seeing two loved ones pass in prison, like you say, let alone one. So I'm sorry to hear about your losses, but I'm happy to hear that you are turning that into something amazing to try to help others in the situation. What contact, if any, have you personally had with the criminal legal system? I heard you say that you was previously in the system yourself.
Absolutely, yes, sir. So I've been directly impacted my entire life because my dad, Charles Lee Allen, he was incarcerated most of my childhood. So I grew up in the prison system. I grew up on every state yard in Kentucky. My dad was in and out of jail my entire life. Nobody bothered to get to the root of his issues to help him. My brother and I struggled with substance use disorders for years, which led to my incarceration. So I was in and out of jail multiple times through my addiction, and I didn't know anything about recovery or being sober or that there was a solution to my problems. I had just accepted that this is my life and this is how it's just going to be.
Sometimes we have to find a solution where there is none, you know what I mean? While we're waiting, we're trying to figure out how we can get over our hump. Sometimes the idea pops in our own heads, and that's why your story is so impressive. You know, you've seen it, you've experienced it, and then you decided, it's time, let me do something to make some type of change. Any change is better than none. Had you always been somewhat of an activist, or was it the loss of your father and brother that turned you into one?
Well, I wouldn't say that I've always been an activist, but I have definitely always had a passion for people who are incarcerated. I think that every little girl idolizes her daddy, and I was no exception. So I loved my dad, and I spent a lot of time going to visit him in multiple prisons across the state of Kentucky. And these individuals, I didn't look at them as inmates or people who are incarcerated or convicts or criminals. I look at them as the people that they truly are, good-hearted individuals who made mistakes, right? And so I feel like I've always had that passion for these individuals and this marginalized population. I've always wanted to advocate for people in jail and prison. Even before I was getting locked up, I would write to people that I knew just to offer some hope and support from the outside.
And that's amazing. You know, people don't get it, and then sometimes they don't understand that although people are inside, that they're in prison, they're still human beings. Criminal is really, that's just a title. That's just something that people label you as. But you're still somebody's son. You're still somebody's brother. You're still somebody's husband or wife. So I think that that's one of the main issues in our society, is that we get so caught up in these labels and these titles that we miss seeing the humanity of the people. So when you used to go in there and see your dad, you knew you loved your dad. And so you was like, well, these guys can't be half bad, you know what I mean? They're probably in the same situation that my dad was in. He's here for a reason, you know what I'm saying? The things that he had to suffer in his life draw him in certain directions. And so we got to stop placing labels on people and see them as our neighbors and our friends that who have made mistakes or, you know, got caught up in their luck. So thank you for sharing that and telling us that, because I like that.
Thank you, and I couldn't agree more.
I can see from your website, because I did look at all, you know, the stuff you have up there, that you have a holistic program that targets substance use disorders, recidivism reduction, supporting incarcerated individuals and their loved ones, and even reentry services. How long have you been doing this work, Brittany?
Well, I'm glad you asked. We just launched the foundation in August of 2023, so last year. Not long. But God has opened up doors of opportunity and introduced me to the right people. So CLF has expanded astronomically in less than 9 months. Before that, I did a lot of research and learned that the United States has over 2 million people incarcerated, which is by far more than any other country. The rates of recidivism are at 70% in the United States, which means that 7 out of 10 people who walk out of prison are rearrested within 2 to 5 years. And I say rearrested because sometimes these individuals don't even have to reoffend to go back. Mm-hmm. That tells me that whatever we're doing in the United States is not working. So I started looking at how to fix this because I'm tired of my people dying in prison, and I want to advocate to reduce recidivism. And right now we're working on developing CHAD, C-H-A-D, which is an acronym for Caring, Hope, and Deliverance. We want to develop this program to help individuals while they're incarcerated to provide resources and services to them. We also want to be a resource to the family members, to the kids. I know I'm impacted. I'm a child of a person who is incarcerated. I could have used services. I didn't know about all the things that go on inside of the prisons or how to help my family member adapt when they came home, right? My grandmother could have used services. And I know there's more daughters and grannies out there that could utilize our resources and services. So we want to get these people plugged in, and we want to follow these individuals as they come out of prison and help them get plugged in with what they need. And we know it's not a one-size-fits-all. We know that every case and situation is different, so we want to make sure that we are assessing these individuals to make sure that we have the right resources plugged in for them and their family members so that they can be successful upon reentry.
For sure, for sure. It sounds like you found your purpose, and that's heavy. I talked to a guy this morning from the UK, and he was talking about how, you know, when you put someone in a situation such as being incarcerated, and then you don't have anything to help work on giving them a reason for change, or putting aside some program that they can use to better themselves, then all you've done was put them in prison and they did time. But they're coming out and there's nothing changed. The reason for that is that we don't have any programs like you're talking about. Most of these programs, they only deal with the fact that you're in. And then when you get out, they expect you to just pull your life together from the pieces that it was left in. So thank you so much for all that you're doing. And your concept is great, and I can't wait. I look forward to seeing the future and what it is that you all have in store, because I know y'all going to do great things over there.
Thank you.
I love the Chad Lake Foundation's values, too, by the way. I was going to ask you, can you speak on those and tell us what they are?
Yeah, absolutely. So, first and foremost, we want to focus on compassion, because I feel like the people who worked in the prison system that my brother died in, if they would have had some compassion or empathy, then my brother would still be alive today. So at CLF, we want to strive to treat every individual with empathy, understanding, kindness, and recognizing that they are human beings with inherent worth and dignity, right? We want to provide individuals with respect, regardless of their past experiences or current circumstances. I'm a huge advocate for empowering others, so that's another value that we have at CLF. We're committed to empowering individuals to take control of their lives, make positive changes, and achieve their goals. Integrity is another value. We conduct ourselves with integrity, honesty, and transparency in all of our interactions and operations to set examples for others and encourage them to become leaders in their communities as well. So we want to set an example for these individuals to show them that it can be done, right? Like, I've been there, I've done that, I've experienced it, and you are not alone. And we want to show you how to lead with integrity. You know, I'm not just a leader, but these other individuals can be as well. We all have different purposes and different strengths, and I think that it's really important to focus on those and use those strengths and build on them to better ourselves, to become successful. Another value that we have is collaboration. We recognize that no single individual or organization can solve the complex challenges of addiction or incarceration alone, so we collaborate with community partners to achieve our mission, which Dream.org is one of our partners. Their mission is to close prison doors and open doors of opportunity, and we strongly believe in that. So we've partnered with them, Marcus Jackson at ABLE, which is advocacy based on lived experience. We support him and his mission. True North in Owensboro, Illuminaire in Ohio and Muhlenberg counties, Brightview in Henderson, which is the MAT provider. We set up events with numerous organizations and community partners to provide resources to those in need. We just attended an expungement fair a few weeks ago and engaged with Kentucky DOC, Audubon Area, Passport by Molina, and so many more. We actually were able to speak to Channel 25 News there and get our story out.
Right.
Inclusivity is another one. We're dedicated to creating a welcoming and inclusive environment that embraces diversity and promotes equity and social justice. I love everyone, right? I don't care what you've done in your past. I don't care what color you are, gender, sexual preferences. I don't care. I love you, and I want you to be successful. And whatever that looks like, I want to help you and get you plugged in, get you what you need. And so we're also focused on evidence-based approaches to addiction and recovery, and we continually seek to improve our programs and services.
Wow, those are some great values, and that is some of the things that I speak about in my reentry book. It's a change in values. Each of your values was about accountability, and you talk about joining forces and collaborating. That tells me right there about the concept. It's like teamwork makes the dream work. Anything that you want to be successful at, you want to surround yourself with others who can support your efforts and also contribute in some level or another. And so when I hear you, I'm saying to myself, she's doing all the right things. She's putting all the pieces to the puzzle together, and I'm sure you have a team with you, and you must have chose well, because all of the things that you mentioned, that is the keys to successful in this type of organizational structure, because it takes all of these pieces to bring together to see the whole picture of the puzzle. And so I'm really impressed with what you're doing. And a lot of people don't approach it that way, and sometimes they run into some difficulty. So keep doing what you're doing. Keep your head up. You're definitely in the right direction.
Thank you.
I was going to ask you, can you talk a little bit about the disease concept of addiction and why there should not be stigmas attached to that.
Yes, absolutely. So smarter people than me have classified addiction as a disease. So in the DSM-5, the substance use disorder is classified as a mental health issue. In 1987, the American Medical Association declared addiction a disease. And addiction does not discriminate. It can happen to anyone, no matter your race, financial situation, DNA, educational status, gender, et cetera. I've seen anybody and everybody suffer from the disease of addiction, right? And the stigmas prevent these individuals from being successful. I know that speaking to policymakers and prominent individuals, they seem like they're engaging with me at first, and then when I tell them that I'm previously incarcerated, I can see the judgment on their face, right, because of that stigma. People don't want to hire you. When you're coming out of prison or jail, your society labels us as a convict, a drug addict, a thief, a convicted felon, whatever that is. Society labels us as that, and then nobody wants to hire you. You can't get a place to live because you can't get a job to afford the place. And one of the boxes that you have to check on the employment application and a housing application is, have you ever been convicted of a felony? And that sometimes, the majority of the time, is a deal breaker. So you're paying $30 for a rental application for someone to tell you no. I can't imagine how discouraging that is over and over and over. I've been blessed enough to have family to help support me, and as far as the housing situation goes, but there's a lot of individuals that aren't blessed like that, that suffer from a housing issue, right? Can't get SNAP benefits or medical insurance because you have to complete a treatment program before you're eligible. So many different barriers that are put in place for these individuals. It's like they're set up for failure when they come out. Instead of plugging these individuals in with the right resources and getting them the help that they need, it's like, oh, see ya, here you go, you're on your own. And when you can't get a job, and you can't find a place to live because nobody wants to rent to you because of your past, even though you've paid your debt to society, it's very disheartening. And I know from my own personal experience that if I can't have a normal paying job, 9-to-5, then what am I going to do to support myself? Am I going to have to go out here and steal from the grocery store to eat? Am I going to have to sell drugs to provide for myself and provide a roof over my head? What does that look like? People are going to go back to what they know and what they're comfortable with. So what we've got going on right now is obviously not working, and that's why CLF is dedicated to removing these barriers and implementing services and resources for these individuals so that they can be successful upon reentry.
That's awesome and amazing. Hey, everybody, if you like what you see on our podcast, please check out some of my projects at Philip A. Jones Consulting. You can also visit my business page at www.pajconsultingllc.com and my merch page at www.behindthewall.org, where you can read more about what I do and purchase artwork made by justice-impacted men and women. Thank you for subscribing. I'm back on the other side with Brittany Allen Jones. And as you were speaking, a saying came to my mind that I heard about many years ago. It said, who is really guilty? The man who out of necessity from a hungry family goes into a store and steals a loaf of bread? Or the man who has created the condition whereby he cannot work and afford to pay for the loaf of bread? So who is really guilty? And so that brings me to what you were talking about the stigmas. And I have to clue in these employers. With over 2 million people incarcerated in the United States at any given time, you're going to run into many employers who have criminal histories and criminal backgrounds. And so, therefore, if you continue to look at it from that perspective, then you won't have quality workforces. So I think that they should take another look at that and change some of their paradigm. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And that quote is extremely powerful. It really hits home. And there's a statistic that I learned, even being directly impacted my entire life, I did not know. But 95% of people who are incarcerated will be back on the streets one day. I had no idea. I think that's so powerful. And I've heard people say so many things that, you know, these people are criminals. They deserve what they get. They need to go to prison and so forth. But these are human beings and who have made mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. And while I understand that there are consequences to our actions, so if we break the law, I get it, there are consequences for that. I don't agree with the conditions inside prisons. The way these human beings are treated once they are incarcerated is absolutely inhumane. And I think we can do so much better. And I think that's why I want to focus on Chadsville, which is going to look at the living, improving living conditions inside the prisons, and hopefully offer training on the disease concept of addiction to Kentucky DOC employees and make mental health services available to all people who are incarcerated.
That is powerful, and I love that you said that. I'm a big proponent of mental health. Being someone incarcerated myself for many years, I noticed that they do more focus on, you know, a lot of recreation and sitting around in a day room and playing cards and, you know, enforcing rules and stuff like that. But they don't have a lot of mental health therapy programs, and they don't put a lot of resource into that. Most people in prison suffer from some kind of trauma. Most people in prison suffer from some kind of depression. And they seem to want to treat it by just giving them some depression or medication for mental health instead of giving them some type of therapy that they could use to better position themselves so they can get overcome their struggles. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, yeah.
So tell us about your support groups and also your legislative advocacy work, because I know you was about to start talking about the bills and stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely. So CLF is hoping to partner with some amazing advocacy groups in Louisville and Lexington, Kentucky to draft Chadsville, which is going to focus on the living conditions in the prisons, like I said. And right now CLF is also taking in a recovery meeting to the women that are in Ohio County Detention Center. And we just started a support group a few months ago. It's called Leaders of Vital Experience, or LOVE is the acronym for that. And that's actually going on tonight. We meet once a month, and we wanted to offer support for anyone impacted by incarceration, because I know that there's a lot of support groups out there for people who suffer from substance use disorder. We have AA, NA, Celebrate Recovery, and those are great. But for my granny, she can't go to those meetings because she doesn't relate. And I think that, you know, after my brother passed, my granny could have used a support group, right? My mom can use a support group. And there's other moms and grannies out there. We want to be able to offer support as far as navigating the Securus, JPay, or the Kentucky DOC visitation rules, anything that we can help with, because some people are not familiar with the system. And we just want to be there for them. We want to be there for the kids who have family members and parents that are incarcerated, and be an outlet for them and to let them know that they are not alone, and that, you know, we've been there, we know what it's like, and just kind of offer a space, a safe space for them, and also be able to plug them in with resources that they may not know existed.
That is powerful. I love that. These support groups are so necessary and so important. Anyone who has a loved one in prison knows the struggles of trying to figure out how to communicate with their loved one, trying to figure out how to get on a visiting list, trying to figure out how to set up an account with Securus, what you pay money for, and stamps and all this stuff. And this stuff is hard because it shouldn't be. You shouldn't have to pay anything to communicate with your loved one. It's just ridiculous. Uh-huh.
Yes, sir.
So I think someone should write a book on it, navigating the system, talking about all of these hurdles, all of these things, so that other people that come into it can learn and how to avoid some of the pitfalls. I hear about the support groups all on Facebook and all the women's groups and all that trying to support, but they don't even understand they have a lot of power because there's millions of them. You know, you have to make the these companies such as Securus and all that accountable, and let them know that we spend our money. Without us, you guys can't make, you wouldn't be able to have anything, because it's us who are paying for it. So I think that that's very important when you talk about support groups. Support is something that is necessary when you have a loved one incarcerated or dealing with the system on any level. So I just had to get that out. So thank you so much for saying that and talking a little bit about your experience. What would you like listeners to take away from this most important discussion?
That recovery is possible. This marginalized population of people who suffer from substance use disorders or have been impacted by the justice system are just human beings who've made mistakes. They shouldn't have to be defined by their past for the rest of their life. People with substance use disorders should be offered treatment, not a jail cell. People who have broken the law that pay their debt to society and serve their time, they shouldn't be held prisoner for the rest of their lives. They should be given equal opportunities upon release.
Wow, yes. from your mouth to God's ears, that exactly, I'm definitely in agreement with that, because that's my situation. I think that before we get to the end of this interview, I think it was amazing, because, you know, we're trying to open up people's eyes. We're trying to raise awareness on these most crucial subjects. I always like to give advice. Don't give up on your loved ones. Don't throw away your people. Remember, they are humans, and like Brittany said, 95% of people, no matter what their sentence, will eventually return to society. So do we want broken human beings coming back to our communities, or do we want people to come back who have grown, who have become stronger, healed, who are in a position where people are there for them upon their release? Remember that. Think about that. My last question is, for those who may want to assist or get involved with what you're doing over at CLF, how might they get in touch with you or your foundation?
Yeah, that's a good question. So check out our website at thechadlakefoundation.org. It has links to all of our social media platforms, as well as the email address and P.O. box. We'd love to hear from you and how you can get involved. We have events that are coming up. We have the CLF Recovery Prom. That's going to be held at the Recovery Resource Club of Henderson, sponsored by River Valley Behavioral Health. We've got multiple other sponsors on board to serve this event. We are always needing volunteers. So also, I would like to say that people have utilized the P.O. box, and people who are incarcerated. I just got a letter a couple months ago from an individual who was incarcerated at Davis County Detention Center, and he reached out to me, and I was able to plug him in with the resources and stuff, and I just got a phone call from him this morning. He is actually out and in treatment, praise God. So what we're doing is actually impacting individuals, and that really, really touched my heart. I can't even lie. I cried for him and with him, and I'm so excited about the future and the great things that he's going to do.
That's amazing when you can see some of your work and some of your support touching someone to the point where they get back in touch with you and tell you that they're good and that they are okay and that they made it through. So that's the payoff, and that is the reward. So you're doing great work. Continue to do what you're doing, because it's needed. We need it all across the country, but Kentucky is lucky to have an organization like yours and someone like you who cares about those who are justice impacted. So thank you, Brittany. We really appreciate what you're doing over at Chad Lake Foundation and for coming on and talking about your own personal journey. Keep your head up out there.
You too, Philip. Thank you so much.